For the last time tonight, we sing it out. Out of my belly, we sing out.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for being a good Father. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you because you are the unquestionable God. There is nothing that you do that can be questioned. If you choose to kill or destroy, or make alive, or keep alive, or starve, or inflict pain, or inflict sickness, no one can question you. Who are we? Who are we to question what you do? But despite the fact that you are the unquestionable God, despite the fact that you are the God that no man can question, we worship you. We thank you. We appreciate you that yet you choose to be just. You choose to be holy. You choose to be to be loving. You choose to be love. We accept our thanks and praises in the name of Jesus. If you kill or destroy, no man can ask you why. If you choose to don't answer prayer, no one can question you. We worship you because despite the fact that you are God and the unquestionable one, you still choose to be just. You still choose to subject yourself by your word. You still choose to listen to us who are insignificant compared to your almightiness. You still choose to commit yourself to us. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We praise you for your majesty. We praise you for your almightiness. We praise you for your mighty power. We praise you for your humility. We praise you for your kindness. We praise you for your temperance. We praise you for your patience. We praise you for your long suffering over us. The Bible says, though your anger may endure for a season, but your mercy endures forever. Thank you for being a merciful God. Accept our praise in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to look into your word. Encounter us like never before. Let your word penetrate our hearts. Let it fasten upon our hearts like barbed wire. Let it remove everything that is not of you. Everything that you have not planted. Let the axe of your word cut them down. Everything in our life that you have not approved. Let your lion roar and dissipate them. Everything in our lives that you have not chosen, let your fire burn and consume. As your word is coming forth, let your purifying fire work upon our lives. Let it change us. Let it transform us. Let us, through the anointing of your word, become a new person. To the praise and the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen, 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we are glad once again to be able to speak to the children of God again today. It's always a privilege to be named among the living, and a far more privilege to speak to the people of God. We praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been on this very long series on love, on a new commandment. Talked about how you should love God like Jesus. Talked about how you should love your neighbor like Jesus. Then we began the subject of offenses. And it has been powerful. We've received testimonies upon testimonies on how this teaching has changed the lives of many. Changed the lives of many. And we pray that the word of God will continue to grow and prevail in our lives and in our world in the name of Jesus. You know, these are very powerful teachings that are very vital to the grassroots of everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody living on the face of the earth needs a teaching like this, because it's a kind of teaching that binds the world together. The songwriter says, Lord, make us instruments of peace. You know, where there is fighting, you know, let there be peace. And it went on and on like that. Say, let your love increase. So this is teaching that puts the world together, binds people together, solve problems, and help people to live in peace. And it affects everybody, because every one of us have to relate with somebody at one point or the other. Hallelujah. So last week, our brother Paul, Pastor Paul, spoke to us about forgiveness and justice. People have testified to that, how that blessed them tremendously. You know, he showed us, shared with us from the story of David, how David neglected to exact justice on his children. And, you know, that became a big problem. That affected him and gave him the toughest problem of his life. And, you know, and then he shared his own personal example, how, you know, he had to prosecute somebody in court, and eventually, you know, it ended up being a blessing to that person. You know, justice can be a blessing to a person. You know, it can be a blessing, and we should not neglect justice. So if you miss that teaching, you will see during the teaching, was making reference to the teaching we did before on Forgive and Forget Part 2, where we discussed extensively the subject of justice also. How justice is different from vengeance. How that vengeance is of the devil, but justice is of God. And it also shows us that when you are asking for justice, don't allow anybody to make you feel like you are being vengeful. You know, people mix that together. So you are trying to revenge. You are trying to revenge. No. Justice and vengeance are not the same. Hallelujah. So but that's by way of talking about what we discussed last week and what we've discussed previously. I'm sure you've seen the flyer. Today we'll be speaking on dealing with difficult people. Hallelujah. And we had to take this teaching because from experience, we've had to counsel a lot of people who are dealing with somebody extremely difficult in their lives. Difficult mother-in-law, difficult husband, difficult wives, difficult siblings, difficult co-worker, difficult landlord, difficult tenant. Hallelujah. So you see, you find all of these in our world today. So today, we begin to talk about how to deal with difficult people. Obviously, we cannot finish today. By God's grace, we should be able to finish next week. But that depends on how the Lord grants us speed and grants us unction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Quickly, I want to just say this, that in one way or the other, everybody is somebody's difficult person. In one way or the other, you may think you are just doing your thing. Somebody may think you are being difficult. So the subject of being difficult is wide and broad. But by the grace of God today, we are trusting God to help us to bring everything together so we can deliver a template and the wisdom of God that can help you to deal with all forms of difficult people. All forms of difficult people. Hallelujah. Of course, there are some peculiar situations. There are peculiar ways to deal with peculiar people. Peculiar ways to deal with peculiar people, especially when they are within your power. If you are dealing with a difficult tenant, just serve them a notice and send them out. Hallelujah. Okay, you are dealing with a difficult employee and it's in your power. You know, if you don't want to deal with them again, you can just let them go. Hallelujah. Okay, but in this teaching, we'll be providing balances and guidelines on everything, on all of this. Basically, we'll be talking about the basic types of difficult people. And then we'll talk about the 10 L's of dealing with difficult people. So that's what we're dealing with within this teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Ah, dear Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39. Let's see a man who had a difficult person in his life. And many of us, we've been there. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39. 2 Samuel 3, verse 39. Verse 39, okay. David is speaking here. He said, "And I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruah, they are too harsh for me. They are too harsh for me." Praise the Lord. Let me just give you a background story to what led to all of this. David is the seventh child in his family, seventh male child. We don't know exactly if there are ladies in between, but David has two sisters. One goes by the name Zeruah, one goes by the name Abigail. Zeruah will most likely be much elderly to David because Zeruah is gave birth to three male children, who goes by the name Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. So Zeruah, these three are the sons of David's sister. So they are his family members. So incidentally, the three of them also became one of the core generals in David's army. So they are not only his family, they are his right-hand men on the battlefield. But despite the fact that these men are his family, despite the fact that they are effective, they are, you know, delivering results, they are doing what they are meant to do, they became a thorn in the flesh of David. He said, "I am weak today," when he got some news about what they did. "Despite the fact that I am the anointed king, I feel powerless against these ones. I can't undo them. They are too harsh for me." Let's read another instance. 2 Samuel 16, verse 10. 2 Samuel 16, verse 10. But the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruah?" You see that? Another, giving him headache upon headache. Giving him a headache. He said, "What am I to do with you? You are my family. I can't send you packing. You are my generals. You are useful to me. Despite the fact that you are useful, you have become a thorn in my flesh. What will I do with you?" Let's take another one. Chapter 19, verse 22. So if you have people that are thorns in your flesh like that, you are not the first person. Hallelujah. 19 verse 22. And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruah, that you should be adversaries to me today?" Hallelujah. You see that again? Always, David is making people see that these cheap people, they are giving me a headache. "You sons of Zeruah, why are you a problem to me? What will I do to you? Why can't I rid myself of your headache?" Hallelujah. They are the kind, Joab particularly, is the kind of person who had his own mind, despite the fact that he is useful, he is industrious, but he is that one person. He is the number one general in David's army. But he had his own mind. David killed, not David now, Joab killed Abner. Killed Abner on a day that there was no battle. He just moved close to him and killed him. You know, he killed Absalom too. He killed one other, about three people that he killed that David did not want him to kill. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 19 verse 7, he even threatened David. He told him, "Mr. Man, if you don't get up now, I will ensure that everybody turns against you and your end will be worse than how you began." He threatened him. He was that powerful. He was a thorn in the flesh of David. David, despite that he was a king, he feared him. Difficult people. So David was so pained that in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, he said, "I could not deal with Joab." He told his son, Solomon, he said, "But you, please help me deal with him. You're a wise man. Please ensure that his gray hair does not go to the grave in peace. Make sure he dies by the sword." To show you how pained David was about Joab and his brothers. Hallelujah. So people have been dealing with difficult people since 2000 BC. Hallelujah. Or 4000 BC. People have been dealing with difficult people. Praise the Lord. So if you have one like that in your life, don't be surprised. Welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So quickly, I will mention about seven types of difficult people. Just basic types. The list is endless, sincerely. The list is endless. But these are like the major types of difficult people that you may encounter in your life. And more importantly, as I'm mentioning some of these types of difficult people, you should also evaluate yourself. Am I not a difficult person to somebody also? Hallelujah. So it's not only for you to begin to pick, to look, "Oh, that's my co-worker. I've been saying it now. I've not been feeling comfortable with him. Now I know he's a difficult person. I noticed that my boss, I failed today. In fact, next Monday he's going to hear it from me." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's not just for you to pick out, point out the difficult persons in your life, but also for you to evaluate yourself and ask yourself important questions. Am I not a difficult person to somebody? Hallelujah. Am I not a difficult person to somebody? Praise the Lord. So number one type of difficult person, they are what we call negative people. Negative people. Negative people are the kind of people that are always complaining, always criticizing, always judging, always making conclusions. They won't even ask you why you did what you did. They already know why. It's because you are this. If you accidentally go out and come back late, they already know you were seeing a woman. If you by mistake make a call, probably outside before you come inside, he's already talking to somebody. They are picking something from every little thing you do. People that are very hard to please. Hard to please. Very picky. If you show them a plain white sheet and tell them, what do you see? They will be looking for a black spot. Is that black spot they will see? They will see the white sheet. People who they can't find anything about you to appreciate. Even if they've seen you are doing something good, they will still pick something wrong from that good thing you are doing. Ask to please. Very negative. Very negative and pessimistic people. Just looking out for the wrong in others. Not looking out for the best. You can do 1,000 good things for them, but it is that one you did wrong that they will talk about. Hallelujah. So negative people can be very difficult people to deal with. So don't be one of them. Hallelujah. Number two, they are the show-off people. These ones, they are insecure. They are always trying to show that they are superior to you. The Bible says, for they compare themselves among themselves, but they comparing themselves with themselves among themselves are not wise. Insecure. Always trying to compare themselves with someone else. If you tell them, see my fine shoe, they will say, hey, my shoe is also fine. Hallelujah. The whole world revolves around them. If they see somebody shining and prospering, they will say, oh, see this one. When he's not hardworking, when he's a thief. Because every time they see somebody doing something, every time they see somebody say something, it's all about them. The whole world revolves around them. And they are always trying to show that they are better off. Among the poor, they want to show that I am the poorest. If they are talking about who has suffered the most, they want to prove that I am the one that suffered most. Among the rich, they want to show that I am the richest. And if accidentally they are not able to be the richest, they will coin something out. I am the only rich person that made my riches, you know. Always looking for something to just be over their neighbor. Hallelujah. So because of that, because the world revolves around them, they can't listen. They can't listen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's how those kind of people are. They can be difficult to deal with. People who just want to show that they are bigger. Who wants to show that they know more than you? They always want to show that they know better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So those are the kind of the second type category of people who can be difficult. Number three. There are people that are passive people. People that are unwilling to help. These ones are even bad. Unwilling to care, they are just passive. They don't want to help. They don't want to contribute. Even if you are correcting them, they don't want to change. They are not responsive. They are not communicating. They are unwilling to add. They don't add. They are just there occupying space. It can be a lot of headache. People who are just unyielding. You can't, they are not spontaneous. They are not on the move. They are just passive. Hallelujah. This kind of people can be difficult. Number four, they are bossy people. People that are bossy. A bossy person is also similar to a show-off person. A bossy person is also insecure. Hallelujah. A bossy person, it may even be, hallelujah. A bossy person may be your employee. You may be the boss of a bossy person. But because they are bossy, you will know that this one is bossy. Everything is going well until you give them an instruction. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be rebuked. They don't like to be corrected. They don't like anything that will make them feel like you are bigger than them. Hallelujah. They prefer to be massage their ego, make them feel big, than you instructing them directly. And if a bossy person is your boss, then you see that they always want to be in control. They want to control the other person. They don't listen to advice. They don't, even when you are, when they claim they are listening to you, they are not listening. They always want to have their way. And boss people can be so bad that even when they know that your own idea is better, they will still choose their own idea just to prove a point that I'm the boss. They are not objective in matters. They just want because they want to be in control. They just want what they are saying, what they want to go to fly. A bossy person can also desire to be worshipped. He wants everybody to bow before him, everybody to panic when he comes in. That is his own idea of being a leader. Hallelujah. So he always wants to have his way, and he always sees things from his own view. When you are telling him this is the way to go, he doesn't want to see, doesn't want to care. That's a bossy person. Number five is what we call abusers. People who abuse physically, verbally, emotionally. They just want to inflict pain on you. That's their own goal. Some people may not be able to abuse you physically, but by the time they use their tongue to abuse you, you can start crying. You can hate. In fact, you can go and commit suicide because of how sharp their tongue is. The Bible says the tongue is an unruly evil. It says it is set on fire by hell. And some people are like that. They can use their tongue to reduce you to nothing. They can use their tongue to make you feel you don't worth being alive. Verbal abuse. By the time they finish talking to you, your head is banging. You want to hit your head against the wall. Verbal abusers. Some other people, emotional abuse. Some other persons, physical abuse. Difficult people who cannot tame their hand. Who cannot tame their anger. Who just want to be abusive physically. These are difficult people. And some of you have had to deal with people like this. Number six is a self-centered person. A self-centered person only cares about himself. Even when they claim they are caring about you, they are still caring about themselves. They don't really have a genuine concern for people. If they are giving you 5 naira, it's because they know they can get 10 naira from you. Even if it is 6 naira, they don't mind giving you 5 naira to get 6 naira. Everything they do is gravitating towards themselves. Every advice they are making is for themselves. The reason why they refuse to take your idea is because it does not, it will affect them adversely. The only reason why they are giving their own advice is because it's going to benefit them. They are not concerned about the relationship. They are not genuinely concerned about you or other people. They care only about themselves. People like that can be difficult to deal with. Difficult, extremely difficult. Number 7 and the last. Unrepentant people. This one can be very, very disturbing. People who are difficult and are unwilling to see themselves as difficult. They are the problem, but they don't want to know that they are the problem. Everybody is telling them, Mr. Man, you have a problem. Say, no, sir. Go on, Pastor, okay, you are the problem. No, sir, I'm not the problem, sir. Everybody is wrong, but they are right. People who are unwilling to change, unwilling to be realistic, people that are not realistic, they are not realistic with themselves. They are not realistic with their process. They don't tell themselves the truth. They are deceiving themselves, and that's one of the most terrible places to be. I think it's Proverbs, 25:12 or thereabout, I'm not sure, that says, seest thou a man who is wise in his own conceit? The Bible says, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Hallelujah. So these people are the worst. People who don't listen. They only gravitate towards people who will tell them what they are doing is right. If you are there to tell them what they are doing is wrong, they will hate you. And there is another side to it. Those ones that they will tell you they are sorry, but they are not sorry. They are not willing to repent. They just want your forgiveness. They just want to get back on your good book. They have not made any decision to change or be better. But every time they do wrong, and they know they do wrong, they know they've gotten on your bad book, and they may lose some privileges or spoil face before you, they will say they are sorry. They can even cry and say, I'm sorry, I will not do that again. But as soon as you said, okay, I'm forgiving you, they're already planning, I'm going to carry out another attack, this time without getting caught. Hallelujah. So they are unwilling to repent or change. Some don't know what they are doing is wrong. Some chose to tell themselves they are doing wrong. They are doing right when they are doing wrong. And the third category that wants to know what they are doing is wrong, but is making no effort to be better or to change. Hallelujah. And there's another category, those ones that keep repeating the same mistake. You did this one, they said it's a mistake. They said, okay, we admit it's a mistake. Okay. You self, you knew it was a mistake. But then you keep making the same mistake repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, failing to learn from experience. That can be a difficult person to deal with. You make a mistake the first time, okay, it's a mistake. Second time, okay, it's a mistake. Third time, Then fourth, fifth, sixth time, it's still a mistake. No, something is wrong with you. Something else is wrong with you. So don't be that kind of person. Hallelujah. So I mentioned this not just so that you can spot the difficult process in your life, but so that you will not be a difficult person to someone else. Because you are the ones that is listening to us. Maybe your difficult person is not listening to us. Hallelujah. But you are listening to us. If we can make you less a difficult person, then we can make the world a better place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's easier to deal with difficult people generally. But the one that is most difficult, they are difficult relatives. People who you seem to be stuck with. People who seem to be stuck with you. Relatives. May God help us in Jesus' name. May God help us in the name of Jesus. So be determined that I will not be a difficult person to others. And evaluate yourself based on some of these things we have mentioned and see where you have been wrong. You may also need to speak to the persons you are with, you are living with, you are working with, your co-workers, and ask them for an objective evaluation of their judgment of your person. Everything they say may not be right. Some people may judge you wrongly. Some people may judge you rightly. But you can take these things together, put these things together, look into it, pray over it, and let God show you what to do. Let God guide you. Let God show you, okay, this particular part is actually wrong. Hallelujah. You know, as close as Moses was to God, Moses was doing something wrong, and God never told him. Until Jethro came and said, "Mr. Man, you will die very soon if you continue like this. You are on a path to dying early. How will you alone be judging over 3 million people? From morning till night. From morning till night." And this was a man that was face to face with God. And God never told him. That is to show you the power of relationships. And what we call the blind spot. There is a part of your life that you may never know. No matter how close you are to God. No matter how much you read your Bible. There is a part, there is a side of you that you will never know. That it is a human being like you that God will send to reveal it to you. Because God did not make us to live in isolation. God made us to have fellowship, to relate with one another, to depend on one another. God did not make an island. So Jethro came, his father-in-law, and told him, "Mr. Man, you will wear yourself out. Why not choose so kind of men? Choose men that will be leaders over 50, over 1,000, over this and that, so that it is only the complex matters that will come to you." So when his father-in-law told him, "I now went to meet God," "God, see what my father-in-law said. What do you think?" God said, "Even me, I've been thinking about it, but you know, you were not positioned for me to tell you." And God told him, "Choose 70 people." And that is how he saved himself from early grave. An unnecessary headache. He could spend that time sleeping if he chooses. Hallelujah. So there are some things about you you will never know. It is called a blind spot. I hope you know that none of you have seen your face before. Nobody, you've not seen your face before. The only reason you were able to see your face is because the mirror told you what your face looks like. And if by mistake the mirror that is showing you your face is slightly concave, You may look fatter than you really are. Or convex, you may look thinner than you really are, and you may get a wrong opinion about yourself. So you've not seen your face, you've not seen your back before, you've not seen your hair before. You only lean on the information the mirror tells you to make a judgment on where there is a black spot on your face you need to work on. And God has made people mirrors in our lives like that. That is a part of our life that we will never know unless you humble yourself and ask. You humble yourself to listen. Because many of us, we have this eye in the cloud mindset about ourselves. I'm this kind of person. I am this perfect kind of person. This is who I, you know. And you've never paid attention to ask people that are living with you. Say, this one does not like me. This one just hates me. This one does not understand me. Ask people you are living with. Ask people you are working with. Ask people that know you. What can you say? What is your judgment of my character? With the way I am going, where does it look like, look to you that I am going? With the way I am journeying, where does it look like I will end? You need to ask. It doesn't mean every time, just like I told you, there are some mirrors that are convex or concave that may not show you the true representation of who you are. There are some broken mirrors that will give you confused. They are confused themselves and they will try to confuse you about who you are. So it's not like you take everything people tell you about yourself and take it like that. But you must be sensitive. That does not mean you should not listen. Even Jesus got to a point in his life. He told disciples, he said, "What do people say that I am?" He wanted to know. Yes, I know who I am. But he got to a point, he said, "What do people say I am?" Then he said, "Some said you are Elijah. Some said you are the prophet. Some said you are the this. Some said you are that." Okay. No problem. Well, what people are, those people, they are not close to me. They may not know much about me. So they are entitled to their opinion. Then he turned to the disciples. "What do you say that I am? What is your own judgment of who I am? What do you know about? What can you say about me?" Hallelujah. Thank God for somebody who got a revelation. Otherwise, I'm sure Judas would have said something else. And Matthew and John. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So use these things to evaluate yourself so that you are not a difficult person to others. God help us in Jesus' name. So quickly, I'll begin to talk about the 10 L's, letter L, the 10 L's of dealing with difficult people. I have 10 points here, each that starts with a L, on how to deal with a difficult person. And our time is fast spent. I can't finish, but I hope that we're going to take at least 3 of these points. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the number one way when you identify a difficult person in your life, the number one thing you need to do is what I call locate yourself. You need to, first of all, locate yourself in the will of God concerning that person. As God's children, we don't live for comfort. We live to serve the will of the Master. So you see, that somebody is being difficult in your life does not mean you should get the first one-way ticket out of that person's life. No. First thing you need to find out is this person part of my journey of destiny? Because many people have left seemingly toxic relationships too early and they miss out of God's purpose for their lives. There are some people God will send to your life for specific reasons. There are some people that are part of the journey of your destiny, and the hardship and the difficulties they will place upon you, they are part of God's tool to make you the person He wants you to be. But you were too quick to get out of class. I don't know if you know the woman called Hagar. Hagar was the servant of Sarah. The servant of Sarah, you know the story. Sarah could have no child, and eventually she gave Hagar to Abraham as a wife. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he gave Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. So when Hagar became pregnant, the Bible says her master was despised in her eyes. Please follow me. Her master became despised in her eyes. And Sarah felt like, what? I did you a favor. I allowed you to go into my bosom. I allowed you to go into my husband. And is this how you repay me? Then he went to Abraham in anger. Said, Abraham, he said, this slave girl is being a problem. And you are the one that is causing it. And Abraham said, you are the one that made her my wife. But if you want her to be your slave, that will also be your choice. That's what he told her. Abraham said, she is your slave now. Do to her as you please. So immediately Sarah heard that, she withdrew the wife title she gave to her. Smart woman. Say, well, I made you my husband's wife before, but now no longer you are no longer second wife in this house. You are back to being a slave. The Bible says she dealt harshly with her. She dealt harshly with Hagar. She dealt with her so much that the Bible says Hagar fled. Hagar ran and said, no, I can't take this anymore. She ran. Not knowing that as she was running away from destiny. It's not every hard person you should quickly dissipate. It's not every hard rule. When I was in school, I was so against people who claim I want to live alone. No, I want privacy. I always tell them, live with somebody that you did not come from the same home. I always encourage them, try and have a roommate. It will be a time for you to learn that everybody in the world, they won't say things the way you see it. Or under one semester, they live with somebody, they want to quickly get out, send that person away. I don't want to live with her again. Some of them missing very vital school of training that God has for them. Hallelujah. So as Hagar flee out of the house of Abraham, away from her master, she was fleeing out of destiny. But God was merciful to her. God met her on the way and stopped her. I said, young woman, where are you going? He said, I am fleeing from my master. You know what God told him? God told him, you can't flee. As you are walking out of a relationship, you are walking out of a blessing. I have a purpose for you. And if you leave that relationship like this, before the appointed time, you miss out of God's agenda for you and for your son. And God told him, go back. I have a plan for your son. Your son is going to be great. You are carrying a son. His name is Ishmael. And he's going to be great. But if you run away like this, you miss out of that destiny. Go back to your master and submit to her and endure the hardship until the appointed time. Hallelujah. So it is not every hardship, it's not every difficult person that you are meant to do away with. You must find yourself in the will of God. You must pray and find out, am I meant to deal with this person or am I meant to lead this relationship? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Paul said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, our inner man is renewed day by day. He said, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working in us a far greater weight of glory. While we look on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is more to that difficult person than the temporal misbehavior you are seeing. All you are seeing from that difficult person is what they are doing now. But there is something more. Some of them are holding your destiny in their hands. And God needs you to endure so you can pick it. Number two, tell us more about that. The different kinds you can have. So you must be willing, your priority is to serve the will of God. And you must be willing to dwell in the will of God. To dwell in the will of God. Even if you have to come face to face with a difficult person. John 19 verse 11, Jesus told Pilate, he said, you can have no power against me except it is given to you from above. When a man learns to dwell in the center of God's will, even when you face a pilot, you understand that though I am standing before somebody who wants to sentence me, I am still in the will of God for my life. It's a knowing, it's an understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Luke chapter 2 verse 51, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, and he went down with them and was subject to them. Jesus had to be subject to an imperfect parent. You know how difficult that is? How many of you have been under the leadership of a leader that is ignorant? That's the kind of parental that Jesus had. Here was Jesus that knows all things, that is smart, that is wise, that is holy. And now he has to live with a carnal human being. And the Bible says he was subject to them. You know how difficult that is? You never thought about it. If you think about it, you know that it must have been hard for him to be subject to an imperfect parent as a perfect human being. Sometimes he will run errands that he knows is he already knows that this journey I'm going will not make any sense. But he has to still go because he had to be subject to them. Hallelujah. He had to learn that obedience. He had to learn that submission. So that one day, when he speaks to a demon knows here is a man of authority. There is a man that knows how to subject himself to authority. Hallelujah. You know the story of Laban, right? Laban and Jacob. Laban is one of the most difficult persons to have as a boss. A boss that changes your salary 10 times, reviews your salary backward 10 times. He's not reviewing it back forward. He is consistently changing the terms of your salary to suit himself 10 times. A man you want to make a deal with and goes behind you and crosses you to change the terms of the bargain. That's Laban. But Jacob stayed with Laban for 21 years. It looked like a wasted time. But how else will he be able to deliver to us the 12 patriarchs of Israel? If he had married the Rachel he wanted to marry in 7 years, Rachel was only able to give him 2 children, and his concubine were probably going able to give him maybe other 2 or thereabout. But the Leah that he was not willing to give, that Laban gave to him through mischievousness, through mischief. That was how Jacob was able to get Leah. It was through mischief. Leah gave him, I think, about 5 children of by herself. 5 or 6 or thereabouts. By herself. Rachel was only able to give 2 by herself. And the second one was how she died. So that Laban in the life of Jacob, that was the difficult person, was also the person God used to channel the life of Jacob into producing the 12 patriarchs of Israel. Hallelujah. God help us in the name of Jesus. So the first thing you want to do with the difficult person is not to run away from them or to paint them as evil or to tag them as bad. You first want to find out, where am I in the will of God as touching this person? People have left churches because they encountered the difficult person. People have left organizations because they encountered the difficult person and walked out of the will of God for their lives. You must find out, does God want me to stay or he wants me to leave? That's what matters. Not the kind of person I have to deal with. Because your life is not in their hands. Your life is in the hands of the Almighty. And if he asks you to say to stay, he will give you all the grace you need to remain. And the purpose for which he has asked you to stay will come to pass. Hallelujah. Number 2, very quickly, because of time. Label. So number 1, locate. Number 2, label. Now this is an offshoot from number 1. After you are in God's presence to find out God's express will, then you must come out with a label, able to identify the type of difficult person in your life. You need to know the kind of difficult person you are dealing with. There are some difficult persons that have an assignment in your life. They are sent to do something. And that thing is to take you further in life. It may look like they are bad people or they are doing something wrong to you. But that wrong thing they are even doing to you is an assignment. A boss just came to your office and then he's being hard on you. Being hard on you. And then he suspends you for 1 week. And that is the 1 week that something like that millions got lost at work. And police came to carry everybody. Hallelujah. So some of them, they are on a specific assignment to be hard on you to take you somewhere. Some other difficult persons are there as a training for you. And sometimes majority can be like that. There is a virtue that God wants in you. There is something God is preparing you for. Then through the help of these difficult people, you know what? The virtue will be produced in you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So it's like a training ground for you. It's like a schooling and then a test. Hallelujah. So God teaches you and then he puts you in a place where you can be evaluated, where you can evaluate yourself. Hallelujah. When Samuel came to the house of Jesse and said, "Bring me all your children." Jesse brought all his children and they didn't bring David. You know why? Because David has been treated as the nobody in the house. And he was there learning how to cope with parents that don't believe in him, learning how to cope with siblings that don't love him and don't value him. So one day, when Saul wanted to kill him, he had learned how to manage that kind of situation and he did not disgrace himself. Rather, he earned himself a man after God's own heart. So some difficult persons, they are there as God's means of training you. And if you escape, you miss. Some difficult persons can be a blessing to you. Like we shared the story of Laban and Jacob. That difficulty they are giving you is the blessing. Hallelujah. That seemingly difficult time they are making you to pass through is actually the blessing. You need to know that. Some difficult persons are your mission. They are your assignment. Hallelujah. Just like the Israelites are their assignments for Moses. In the Israelites, they are very difficult people. David had the choice to allow God to kill all of them. He had the choice. God gave him the choice. But because he understands that these people are my assignment, he said, no, God, don't kill them. Don't worry. I'll work on them. They'll get better. Despite the fact that they were giving him the headache of his life. In fact, they are the ones that nearly destroyed him. Yet, he understands that this one is my assignment. He is difficult. Leave him. But this one is my assignment. I will continue to pray for him. I will continue to intercede for him. I will continue to love him. I will continue to encourage him. I will continue to rebuke him. I will continue to instruct him. I will continue to hope that one day he will be a better person. He is my assignment. So some difficult persons, they are your assignment, they are your mission, they are your mission field. The Corinthian church, they were a pain in the neck for Paul. Pain in the neck. The Galatians church, pain in the neck for him, but no, he will not leave them alone. He continued to labor to ensure that they become who God wants them to be. He said, my children, in whom I travail again till Christ be formed in you. Some difficult persons are your stepping stone. They are just hurdles for you to climb into greater victory. Hallelujah. They are stepping stones. Like Haman in the life of Mordecai. Stepping stones. Hallelujah. So just enjoy it. Glory to Jesus. Number five. Okay, the next one is number five now, or six. Some difficult persons can be your trainers. Like we have Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is a very difficult master. A master that is very difficult. Hallelujah. If you read the story very well, you see that. Some difficult people are your trainers. They want to be deliberately hard on you because there is something they know that God wants to produce in you. So what you consider as difficult, they in their spirit, they understand it as a training. They are trying to train you. And of course, some people push it to the extreme, okay? I'm not saying there are no extremes. But some people, they will be hard on you. I know of ministers of God that they know this one is going to be my assistant. They will deliberately send him, or this one is going to take over from me when I'm dead. They will deliberately send him to a rural place to try his heart. They will deliberately do things that will embarrass him to try his heart. They will deliberately insult him, and they will be difficult on him just because he wants to see the kind of person he is. So the difficult person can be your trainers. Some difficult persons can be your mistakes. They can be products of your error. You may attract difficult people by your error. You can even make a difficult person for yourself by your carelessness, by your own foolishness. You can create a difficult person for yourself, which is your mistake. And you need to also understand this. You got married to somebody, they were the best person in the world, and now they've turned to the devil. You ask yourself, when you got the package, it was perfect. So who knows that if this is your reason of use that made them bad? Hallelujah. So if you understand that the difficult person you are dealing with is your mistake or a product of your own mistake, you may need to ask God for mercy. Hallelujah. And then ask God to recourse. God is a very powerful God who can always take you from wherever you are to where he wants you to be, no matter how far you have gone. I always tell people, if you have never read the story of Manasseh, the king of Israel, please go and read it. Read it in 1 Kings, in 1 and 2 Kings, or in 1 and 2 Chronicles, you see the full story. If there was any king that does not deserve the mercy of God, it was Manasseh. Yet, the Bible says, when he cried to God, God still took him from where he is to where he wants him to be. So if you know that your difficult person is your mistake, you need to admit, ask God for mercy, and then ask him for grace for the time of need. Lastly, some difficult persons can be a cancer. They can be a cancer to be cut off. You need to also understand that some of them, they can be cancerous. They are not serving any purpose. They are not doing anything. They are not making any good. You will only be able to take note of such kind of difficult people from the light of God. They need to be cut off. If you allow them to stay for too long, they will destroy you completely. So some difficult persons can be cancerous. I need to deal with them. Time has gone, fastly gone. I would like to take number 3 for close. Time has gone. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Our God. I have a long way to go. I will just begin it and then we'll close and then we'll pray. Tomorrow, I will start from there. Number 1, I said you need to locate yourself in the Word of God, in the will of God. Number 2, you need to label that person, identify the kind of person that they are, the kind of difficult person that they are, the kind of assignment they are on or you have in their life, or who the kind that they are. You will see that from the light of God's word. And number 3L says, look inward. Look what? Look inward. When you are dealing with a difficult person, one of the very first things you need to find out is, what am I doing to contribute to the difficulty this person is giving me? Hallelujah. I discovered in my days of counseling that several people who claim they are dealing with difficult people are equally a difficult person themselves. So when you are dealing with a difficult person, first you need to look inward. In what way am I contributing to this person's difficulty? In what way am I making this person more difficult? Yes, that person has his own problem. But in what way am I adding to it? And if you are going to help a difficult person, if you are going to deal with a difficult person, you must not contribute. You must not contribute to whatever it is that is making them uptight. So you need to evaluate yourself objectively. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. The Bible says, judge not that you may not be judged. He said, through the same measure that you judge, it shall be measured back unto you. He said, how shall you say to your neighbor, let me remove the speck in your eyes, whereas there is a beam in your eyes. So you need to evaluate yourself. Check yourself. I'm going to stop here. We'll continue from here next week. I'll talk more on this next week. Check yourself. How am I adding to this matter? Get an honest opinion. I was with a father in the Lord, I think a week or there about ago. And he told me how a woman reported her husband. And he eventually got to speak to the husband. And by the time the husband finished talking, he felt like this is a problem. Eventually, the woman came to live in his house. And that woman lived in his house for some days. Even he wanted to do away with the woman. And this is the person reporting her husband. One day, he had to ask, she asked the man of God, "Sir, do you think I'm a proud person?" The man was like, I don't know how to answer this question, but say, well, it's, the way you are behaving, it looks as if you are proud. Hallelujah. He said, the woman asked again, am I a gold digger? I said, well, I can't say, but the way you act, somebody that does not know you will think you're a gold digger. Hallelujah. So some people who are claiming they are dealing with somebody difficult, they are even more difficult themselves. And you need to evaluate yourself objectively. Just because the other person seems to be doing something you consider more wrong, you should not contribute to the problem in any way. If you are contributing to the problem, you can never solve it. If you keep on seeing a speck in your own eyes and a beam in his own eyes, there will be no problem. There will be no progress. You must understand that there is a beam in my eyes I need to deal with. And if you trust God to help you deal with the beam in your own eyes, you will be able to see clearly the speck in the eye of your brother. Let's bow down our head and pray. We'll continue from here next week. We'll still talk more on this number three. I just want to add this foundation to this matter. Let's bow down our head and just pray. Can you just speak to God? Speak to God. Can you begin to ask God for mercy? If there's any relationship that you have left in a hurry, without seeking the counsel of God, can you begin to ask God for mercy now? Just because a little hardship, you escaped and you missed out. Just because of a little hardship, you got angry, you scattered everything and you destroyed that relationship. Meanwhile, it was meant to lead you to destiny. And that which you have lost back then till now, you have not recovered it. Can you ask God for mercy this evening? Can you ask God for mercy? Can you ask God for grace to be properly located in the center of his will? The best place for a man to be is not in the north or in the south or in the east or in the west. The best place a man is meant to be, the most secured place, the most fantastic place, the most nourishing place a man is meant to be, is right in the center of the will of God. The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the court of their God. Say, Lord, in any way I have deviated from your will and counsel for my life, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. Bring me back to the center of your will. I am ready to serve your purpose. I refuse to live for myself. I live for your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I begin to ask God now, Lord, shine your touch upon my life. Help me to see myself. Help me not to be a fool who is holy in my own sight, who is faultless in my own eyes. Even when my partner, when my friends are pointing out my wrong, I never see it. I'm always blaming them. I'm always judging them. I'm always accusing them of not understanding me. Meanwhile, I am the problem. Holy Spirit, shine your touch upon my life. Help me to see myself. Help me to realize my fault. Help me to see how I am contributing to this problem. In the name of Jesus, help me to be humble enough to listen to what people say about me, about my person, and grant me the grace to follow through, to see a change. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us expressly. Thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you because that which we ask you in the beginning, we can see clearly that you have done. We ask that there will be testimonies of life change in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As we continue next week, we ask that you speak the more to us. We ask that you bless us tremendously. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I believe you have been blessed. I myself have been blessed. Hallelujah. And I believe you have been blessed too. And next week, we have 10 things to mention. You see how powerful the first three are. And I tell you, there are seven more powerful ones that we'll discuss with you. We just laid the foundation today. Next week, by God's grace, we will continue. We take it up from where we stopped. We still talk more on what it means to look inward. And we discuss several others. And I trust that next week we finish so we can go on to a new series. A new series is coming. A very powerful series is coming after this. You need to watch out for it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us once again. We are happy to have you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful weekend ahead.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yeah. Out of my belly shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow a river, rivers of living water. We'll sing it one more time. Out of my belly shall flow. Somebody bring the Holy Ghost right now. Era da bashanda bahaya. Era da 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 da